Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you, filling in for John Hockenberry today. Later this hour, we're talking to Bill and Melinda Gates. Now, Bill Gates is in the 85 top wealthiest people in the world, a group whose wealth in total is half the net worth of the entire globe. Now, wealth can be a tool for investment, for development, for change, of course. And we'll be hearing about how the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is trying to spread the wealth and fix the problems of global poverty. But wealth can also be an end in itself, a status symbol, a way of wielding power, and an addiction. And that was the case for my next guest. In his last year on Wall Street, Sam Polk, who is a hedge fund trader at the time, made $3.6 million in bonuses. But he says in an article in the New York Times, it just wasn't enough. Hi, Sam.
Hi.
A true addiction. Some people might say, geez, I don't know, alcohol, pills, drugs, of course. Money, a real addiction. Everybody needs it. Everybody strives for it.
Addiction is a really interesting paradigm to look at wealth from. And what I mean by that is that, you know, it is a sickness, this thing that's going on in our culture where, you know, the people at the top feel like they don't have enough. And these people keep accumulating more and more. And I was definitely one of those people. And the reason I came out with that story is I said, look, you know, there's something going on in our culture where people at the top feel like they don't have enough and people at the bottom actually don't have enough. And when you look at, you know, sort of this rising inequality as a function of sickness, then it actually becomes a more interesting thing to look at because people look at Wall Street with a lot of anger, right? They look at these guys at the top, Wolf of Wall Street type guys, and say, like, these guys are consumed with greed and I'm going to judge them and they're evil. But if you actually shift that a little bit and you start thinking about these guys at the top as spiritually sick and having something, having this feeling that they don't have enough and that they're constantly trying to fill that hole inside them, then actually it makes them both a little bit more human, but it also makes it a little scarier because it means that they're not just bad people, but that they're not going to change. There's not going to be an awakening until, you know, I don't know if you have any experience dealing with addiction, but it's not something that just changes overnight. You actually have to hit bottom. You actually have to have some consequences. And the idea that wealth is an addiction is a really scary one because we actually exist in a culture where there's no consequences. We live in a culture that promotes this wealth addiction. And actually, the bigger that addiction gets, the more adulation, the more support, the more TV articles, the more radio interviews people get. And that's really the scary thing because, you know, because pretty much we're existing in a world right now where people at the bottom don't have enough and wages for the last 30 years haven't gone up at all. And still the people at the top feel like they don't have enough. And I think we're reaching this point where, you know, the world is scared because this kind of, you know, continually rising inequality can't continue to exist.
Well, one of the things that you talk about, though, Sam, in terms of this addiction sort of flies in the face of what's supposed to be driving our capitalist system. Sure, if one person just can't stop, we can say that's like a cocaine addiction or alcoholism or some other kind of addiction. But wanting more, striving for more, getting more is supposed to be what drives the entire American ethos.
Yeah, you know, that's true. And I think that there is some, like, I do want to say that I think that, you know, money can be a really great thing. And, you know, wanting to support your family can be a great thing. But I think it's also a question about balance. I mean, we are in the American dream is, you know, ideally a place that you can arrive at, that you can have it made. And then the idea with the American dream is that once you have it made, then you can kind of look down at the people below you that have less than you. But that doesn't happen in our current society. Everybody continues. And at least this was true on Wall Street. You know, I was sitting with guys that were making, you know, $3, $4, $5 million, and they were looking at their bosses making $20 million, and they weren't looking. and by the way, I include myself in this, they weren't looking at the people below them who maybe were making $25,000 or $30,000. And so while this idea of the American dream is really important, I also think this idea of a connected America is really important, where people feel responsibility for the people that have less than them. And, you know, one of the most interesting things about my article is, you know, there's been this massive kind of outpouring of support, and a ton of it has come from college kids, you know, and these college kids are like reading my article and they say, you know, I don't know what to do because on one hand, I'm about to graduate from Dartmouth or Yale and I have a chance to go on to Wall Street and I don't want to give that up. But on the other hand, I want to do something good for the world. And I think the structure of our system where we're only benefiting, we're really encouraging these people to kind of go out for themselves on a purely selfish basis so that they can get more and more is scary, you know? And I think that there is like, you know, I almost think sometimes like the people on Wall Street, but also in general America is like, you know, have you ever seen people in like bodybuilding competitions, these huge Sure. guys with all these muscles and they're working out 10 hours a day so that they can just get another 5 pounds. Well, that's what Wall Street is like, right? These guys have it made. I had it made. But they're not, then once you have it made, there needs to be this idea where you look around at the people below you and say, hey, you know, I have a responsibility to these people. Like, you know, some of the people that I work with in grocery ships, these are families, low-income families struggling.
Now, let me stop you there because Grocery Ship is the nonprofit that you started. And just real quick before we go, tell us what it does.
Yeah, it's a program for low-income families that are struggling with obesity. So it's a program, a six-month program where people apply, and then we not only give them money where they can buy purely healthy food, fruits, vegetables, grains, and beans, but then we also work with them for 6 months to teach them skills that they can use to navigate a really difficult food environment. And then even more important than that, we surround them with other families who are struggling so that they have a support group for dealing with the idea of like food and obesity and food addiction in a culture that clearly promotes obesity and food addiction.
Sam Polk is a former hedge fund trader and founder of the nonprofit Grocery Ship who gave up the addiction of wealth. Sam, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, we've been asking you, wealth, if you have it, where would you send financial aid? Aid should be sent to Syrian refugees in East and Central Africa, says one person on Facebook. We want your take at 8778-MY-TAKE. That's our number. And there's much more at thetakeaway.org.